The following audio is a crossover podcast. This will be on the following feeds: Quest for Truth, Lion's Den Audiobook and Drama Podcast, The Protectorate Podcast, and Protectors of the Book.
Quest for Truth, Episode 254.
Quest for Truth, presented by Protectors of the Book and HPN. Now located at life-truth.com, here are your podcast host deputies, Keith Heltzley and Nathan Caldwell.
All right, and this is Keith, the co-host here, and all I'll do is say this is our Quest for Truth episode for this week. And
what number are we on?
I think it's going to be 254.
254. Wow.
Yep.
We're getting up there. We're getting up there.
Getting the long end tooth, as they say. Now, last week we had a regular audio drama post. This week I had a different item on the schedule, but hey, we're doing something spur of the moment here.
Yes. I thought, you know, there's some questions that people might have about behind the scenes, but I thought we could talk about the audio drama for a little bit, talk about the history of it, and also some behind the scenes stuff. So,
alrighty. Now, so like last summer, I did a really short kind of editor's cut, gave it about eight or 10 minutes glimpse. But yeah, a lot of this, you have a lot to do with it as well, with the beginnings.
Yes. Jimmy David Robbins once suggested, why don't y'all do, you know, a Bible audio drama? And I was like, you know, that's not a bad idea. And so I took it to Keith, and Keith said, yeah, let's do it. And we're doing Luke now. And Lord willing, after we get Luke done, we'll do Acts.
And I wrote up a sample script, and you kind of liked it, so I was like, okay, we'll go for this.
All right, so some people might have a question about behind the scenes,
the commentary drama parts, we call it.
Right. Some of the characters are fiction, right?
Except for Luke, they're pretty much all fiction.
And Theophilus.
Yeah, so far, those are the only characters that play a part in the
Well, I mean, you have
dramas.
Mary, and you have some of the historical figures talking.
And the idea there is because Luke was not an actual disciple. We don't really know who Luke was exactly, Greco-Roman physician. And he came on the scene because in the opening verses, he wanted to take an accurate account. So all we know about Luke is he's trying to gather all the stories and things that have been buzzing around first century Roman Empire. And who would he have talked to? Because he would have had to come into Israel and talk to people. Of course, in Acts, we know he traveled with Paul a little bit. He could travel with Peter, I think, a little bit. So those would be some key sources once we get into that neck of the woods. But, you know, through the gospel, he would have had to talk to folks who were there, eyewitnesses.
Yes.
And that's how I came up with some of our characters. Of course, Mary would be, she would have probably maybe still been alive at that time. She would have been very elderly. But it's very possible that we may have talked to her. We've had lately Tiberius or Hosea the Fisher, and his character is, the backstory is he was a youngster at the time. And I kind of envisioned that once Peter, James, and John got called away from the fishing boats, that he was a young lad who took over some of the slack.
Huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a good backstory there.
And that's how he knows so much about stories on the lake, because he was there. He wasn't able to follow all the time, but he would certainly have known a lot of stories about Jesus when he was in the Galilee area.
And you have to know that Luke had to ask questions of somebody. So, I mean.
Right. And there's going to be a character coming up on our next script. He was kind of alluded to on 8 because Luke comes in and Tiberius says, I told my friend about you, and he has a story to tell. Well, the friend wasn't named, but in the next script, he gets a name and he gets some lines.
All right.
He gets to tell his own stories about Jesus.
You need a casting call there?
Yeah, we will need the casting call. I was thinking maybe John Steinklauber might be a good person, or just toss it out there.
Well, I can talk to CJ, not my nephew, our protectorate player, CJ.
Gabriel, the Archangel CJ?
Yes, yes. And see if he might be interested in something.
Yeah, just like with Hosea, it could be a recurring character that tells, you know, some of the interviews that Luke needs. So that, you know, as long as somebody wants to recur.
Now, your characters, other than the historical ones, are fiction, but the scenarios, or rather the
situations, I try to pick out of what was the life and times like
right
back then.
And you did mention also that you can spot some commentary in there in these scenes as well. I remember here last time, Luke came out and said, wait a minute. Jesus was tempted, was able to be tempted. Well, that's a commentary. You know, we're commenting on this and responding to maybe some questions somebody else might have.
Right. It's something out of the scripture. In that case, the scene where, you know, Holy Spirit led Jesus to the desert. I mean, the Holy Spirit himself did that. And there was a bit of commentary between the characters interacting to kind of highlight that, you know,
right.
Kind of try to use those commentary dramas to highlight something that's kind of poignant in the scripture.
Yes, yes.
Often to lead into this passage or lead or transition from one to another. So that's the idea behind the commentaries. It's just kind of that, some commentary.
and you write well. I mean, as usual, your writing is very good.
Yeah. I was almost wishing that you could get some of our actors on, so they could talk about what they think about the parts and the characters and the...
Yeah, I really, really wanted, and I tried to get the J.D. Sutter. I tried to get
Satan,
Jimmy. I have not talked to John Grayson. I didn't talk to him. I should have. But I even texted here just a little bit ago, John Steinklauber, but never got an answer back.
He may be busy because he, you know, does have a regular job he works.
Yep. Most of us do, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, that's life, I guess, huh?
Yes, it is. And I would just like to say, these podcasts are sponsored by, in part, by James Kennison, who has graciously become a patron over at patreon.com/theprotectorate. If you are interested in that, you can go to that link and find out more information. So.
Yeah, just smash the button and commit to even just $1. $1. Is it $1 a month or $1 a podcast? I don't know.
A month.
$1 a month. Okay.
Not much.
Yes, it's not a lot to ask. And every little bit helps. I guess you're the de facto treasurer on that because it's your
Patreon. Yeah, I haven't done anything with it because we don't have enough to do anything with yet. So,
yeah.
Except I get to, oh joy, report it in taxes. But
oh yeah, well, a whopping handful of dollars. So
yeah, $3. Yeah,
it won't hit you all that hard, I'm sure.
No, it doesn't. And the thing is I pay like 12 times that amount. Oh, not quite, but almost. And just keeping the to keep the monthly to keep the Google Drive going. So I mean, that's not a problem. That'll easily get balanced balanced out where I don't have to actually pay taxes on it.
Yeah, well, you know, anything that you apply directly towards expenses to operating the podcast, it's not really taxable until your expenses are covered.
So, yeah, that's right. So, I mean, no worries there. And everything is greatly appreciated. And, I mean, James stepped in there when nobody else did. So,
now, that was great. Now, we haven't really sat down and mapped out how finances would work, and that's something we ought to do eventually. But initially it'll just go to help defray podcasting costs. And like I said, you're de facto a treasure. Like I said, you have your Google Drive to support. And right now, as far as server space goes, I'm finding it might be nice to slide things over onto a different hosting service.
Speaking of, now when you say a different hosting service, are you necessarily referring to the
not on my server?
No, I meant CPC option is what I was saying.
Probably the CPC option, because ever since the beginning of December we've had trouble with our Apple feed, and it's just not updating. And right now, I think it's taken it down out of the Apple store.
Right. But I'm still getting it in my phone because I redid it.
Subscribe directly to the RSS, you'll definitely get everything that gets put out. But it doesn't mean people can find this just by browsing through. So it's important to get the Apple thing back up. I think I may know how to work on it, but my last contact with Apple is my server is a little bit slow and it's not feeding things as fast as it ought to.
I have a good question, a good discussion point about the drama. Mm-hmm. But first, let's go to a commercial, because even though this is a crossover podcast, we are still part of the Christian podcast community. So we'll be right back after a word from this message.
Are you just watching?
Do you enjoy watching movies?
The special effects, the interesting characters, the great stories.
There's a lot to enjoy that comes out of Hollywood. But sometimes it's best to approach secular media with a healthy dose of critical thinking.
Join me, E. Franklin.
And Tim Martin.
As we discuss our favorite movies.
And share critical thinking for the entertained Christian.
So visit areyoujustwatching.com to subscribe.
And don't just watch.
Check that out over there at Are You Just Watching. They do some really good stuff. In fact, they just came out with a show this past couple of days about the latest Star Wars movie, I think.
Really? I have to check that one out. The Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah, that one. That's what they reviewed that one.
I do want to see it, but I'm a Star Wars.
So check out their podcast and see what they have to say.
All right. Now, here is a great topic if you wanted to call it the main topic, you could. You wouldn't have to. It's whatever you want to do there. But what do you think is going to be a really good, impactful, dramatic, amazing piece of Luke that you're looking forward to producing?
Who, me?
Yes.
I just take it one scene at a time. Like I said, I have the next script written. In fact, I was looking at it before I started recording. I need to snip off just a little bit off the end of it because it's just a little bit long. And then it'll get us almost through the chapter that we're in, and it'll move on. I haven't really thought about it. I guess the Christmas scenes, the temptation scene.
Right.
I'm not sure. I haven't really looked forward.
Do you, let me put it to you this way. Do you have a favorite part of the Gospel of Luke that you you know, might think you might appreciate more when you get to it to do the drama?
Oh, wow. I think by the time I get to the end, I think there'll be a lot of intense stuff with the crucifixion at Last Supper.
Yes.
Some of the dramatic things like feeding, you know, thousands of people could be interesting.
Yes.
There's definitely going to be some interesting miracles coming up.
Yes.
Any of those.
I don't know if I'd call it my favorite, but I think it's one that I pray has an impact. Luke 16, the passage about the rich man and Lazarus. I think that that's one that's going to be a good one as far as dramatic goes. I mean, you can't get more dramatic than flames going on behind you shouting for,
this is the one reason why I decided to pick Luke and Acts is because it's just Luke had wrote it so dramatically. It tells a story almost just by itself.
Who was Luke written to? A Theophilus, but was there another target audience, or was it just him?
I'm thinking that because of his investigation nature and writing to somebody with a Greek name like Theophilus, and like I said, we don't really know a lot about Luke other than he was probably Greco-Roman, and he seems to have been with Paul a lot in his later days. He may have been from around Ephesus. I've read in some commentaries. I'm thinking he was really kind of writing to the Gentile world, to the Greco-Roman world.
Wow. Now, Mark wasn't he? Mark wrote to the Greeks because it was a very action-packed, and that's what the Greeks wanted, was action.
It's a very concise style of Greek writing, and I think if you read commentators about who the books were written to and for, Mark seems to be a cohort of Peter, and they think that it was written later, like from Rome. So he may have been written specifically to, you know, a Roman type audience.
Right.
Matthew is very Jewish in nature.
And I recognize the Jewish, even if you just talk about the family tree. But Luke had that too.
Right. And that's why I think he must have talked to people who were really close to the family of Jesus in some way. And for years, I've read that, you know, people considered Luke's writings to be the most inaccurate because he seemed to not know about towns and geography and place names and people's names and such. He just kind of got pushed aside. And in recent years, archaeology has just uncovered so much stuff there in the Middle East that they're finding that Luke actually is the most accurate, not only of gospel writers, but of historians. There's a guy, Joseph Flavius, who is kind of a benchmark historian. He's a Jewish historian of around 80, 70 or so. And for years, he was like the go-to guy. But they're finding that Luke may actually be more accurate than him.
Wow. That's saying something.
So, yeah. And so for somebody who used to have the reputation of he's an outsider and doesn't know the geography,
right?
From what they're finding out in archaeology, some of the people he talked about, like the Clarinius and the Jesus story, there was actually two. And I forget which one came first or came second or whatever. But for years, the one that they knew about, the timeline just did not quite match. But when they discovered this other Quirinius, it does match. And there's various towns that Luke mentions that they're finding that they thought didn't used to be there. But as they dig around, they're finding these towns he's talking about.
You know, for many people, probably most people listening, this is a duh kind of question. And why would I even ask that? Shame on me for even asking that. But I'm going to ask that. And there's a reason for it. So just bear with me. Why even do an audio drama from the Bible?
Yeah, why?
Why?
The Bible, it's been done before. Hey, just think of Adventures in Odyssey. They've done a lot of, going back to the Bible kind of things. And there's been, dramatizations of Bible readings where they just went through and totally dramatized, like, New Testament and stuff. And probably did a lot better job than what you or I could do. But there's so much rich storytelling there and so much rich history that there's always a fresh way to look at it,
I really think the ultimate goal, this is obvious to a lot of people, is to get somebody somehow closer to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. That's always our goal. If they don't know Christ, like we always say, their greatest need is a savior. And if they can hear something and they say, wait a second, this Jesus guy, he wasn't a wimp. He wasn't a sissy. I mean, you can tell there's times where Jesus just stands up and he calls them like it is. And I hope we get some of that in Luke, where he calls.
I've been wondering about maybe doing some side dramas that could involve Jesus or people. That's kind of a non-scriptural thing, but I'm not sure how far I want to go into that area. A lot of that will have to do with our voice actor J.D. Sutter and how much emotion he puts into the character.
Right, and he did good on this temptation. I mean, that's believable. It was a very believable portrayal. I mean, 40 days and 40 nights without food.
I was listening to a podcast in the last day or two where they were talking about back in the 70s, there was some kind of a Jesus related movie made, and the way they portrayed Jesus was he was a very sorrowful, serious character throughout. And if you really read, like you said, Jesus has all kinds of emotions. He weeps when he was at Lazarus' tomb, and he's joyful. I mean, he dines with tax collectors and things. Yeah. He has children come around him. You can't be a serious, dour person if you got kids around you.
And there's another thing. It makes you wonder if some of the things he said was said not in the way we think it was said. And what I mean by that is the inflection, the tone.
Right. Said it with a smile on his face or tongue in cheek or something.
Well, yeah. And an example of potential tongue in cheek. And I'm not, please disclaimer, I am not claiming this was done this way. I'm just saying it can be done this way. And this is an example of the kind of thing I'm talking about. When Jesus talked about, don't try to get the splinter out of your friend's eye until you get the two before out of your own eye. I mean, that is a comical thought to me.
Right. And that is kind of, you would say, maybe a ridiculous type situation, like straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel.
Right.
That's very extreme and even ridiculous. And I'm not sure where Luke puts that, but it'd be interesting to get there and have
even if it wasn't in
J.D. Sutter say, why don't you do a little tongue in cheek here?
Right.
do an eye roll or something when you say that.
Well, he did something here recently. He moaned or something. When he said a prophet wasn't
he's preaching to the folks there in the Galilean synagogue. His truly, truly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did great.
Yeah.
Was that in the script or did he do that?
The words were in the script, but any inflection was all him.
I meant the groan.
No, that wasn't in the script.
I thought that was perfect there.
No, there's some stuff coming up in the next one because it involves casting out demons.
Woohoo!
We had some fun with that with some extra groans and things.
Oh, yeah. Or some echoes and all that fun stuff.
I'm thinking maybe we could get Satan to come back to be our demon voices. But
that's not a bad idea.
We'll have to see how that flies. I have an alternate just in case. I'm thinking.
Sean Steinglover. No, get James Kennison to play the demons.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah. Well, whenever he has an inflection on that story show, he can really
You
want
to play a demon?
Really call it out there.
Oh, that's another good show y'all need to listen to, is that story show. It is fun.
Good, clean, Christian fun.
Absolutely.
So what else did you want to talk about? What other directions you want to go here? I'm just saying that, I'm kind of enjoying just writing the scripts out, because, there's a certain, page length or word count you want to try to target, trying to keep things short. But you don't want to, have an hour-long drama. Just something that's about 10 minutes or so.
Well, I'm sure that takes its toll in itself because the editing is not it's a time-consuming process. And I appreciate you doing the editing.
And speaking of behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah?
Of course, to edit, you need to have an audio editor. And the ones that I use, the one's not particularly easy to use, and for some reason it quit working.
Oh, no. Audacity?
Yeah, I can't get it to work.
Oh, no.
It opens and crashes, so it doesn't even open up anymore.
Oh, no.
I even tried uninstalling it, getting rid of some, INI type files. I can't get to come back. But my other one that I use, it's the free version. It's a free version of one that costs $100, which is $100 I don't got.
Right.
And so there's a lot of features that are not unlocked. And it can be a little extra tedious to get things done. Now, I actually have a version of that editor on my Windows computer. And I'll say it works a heck of a lot better on Windows. But my Windows computer up until the last week or two has been in the shop and not accessible by me. So, sometimes it can take a bit of juggling to work around some things to get things edited. But, hey, we get done.
Yep. But there's just some complications that you end up being, and it wouldn't be so bad, but you can't just pick up any audio editor. You need something that's at least semi-accessible for someone who's blind.
I've tried GarageBand. I don't understand GarageBand. I need to have somebody who knows how to use it well to show me how to use it, and maybe I can get it to work, but no, I don't know how to use it.
Does it have accessibility features in it?
I don't know. I can open it on my phone and do a basic record.
Right.
But I'm clueless on how to edit stuff.
Wow.
And on the MacBook, it's there. And I think I had it open once. But it's like, it's open. Now what do I do?
Now what?
I do. There's just way too much stuff. All I want to do is record a voice and then edit a voice. I don't
care. Add some sound effects,
Don't care about all the whistles and gadgets. Something simple.
Yep.
But sometimes the simple ones, like I said, cost $100.
Yeah, it's crazy. So there's some complications that you find when you're doing audio. It is work. It is definitely, there's more to it than just.
And speaking of more work, is even today, this morning, I came into office. I thought maybe I would do a sample recording. I opened up my audio editor. It wasn't recording for my microphone. It wasn't muted. It wasn't unplugged. If I switched mics to my headset mic, it would pick up on it, just not my studio mic.
Huh.
I thought, oh, great. My studio mic is going bonkers. So I thought, let me try it on Zoom. And so I went to Zoom, did a test recording with the studio mic, bing, got my voice. Like, wow, I do not know. Zoom likes it.
Mikey likes it.
I don't know why the other app doesn't like it. We could also maybe add that and make sure people check this out on Christian Podcast Community.
The contest.
Yeah, the contest is still going on. It's down to about the last 5 weeks or so. It's going to end at the end of February. So it's not too late, but the more you get in there, the more you do, the more points you get, the more chances you have to win.
That's bit.ly.com/CPC contest.
Yep. But though, even once the contest is over with, there are lots of good shows out there. There's an ever-growing list of folks to add in.
Have they added any newer ones lately? Or are they still in the works?
Not since the beginning of the year. Not since about the time the contest started.
Okay.
But I understand that there are a few more they're looking at.
But yeah, I did hear there were more that we're looking at.
It's a process. They get applications, they screen people. They want to make sure that the theology more or less lines up.
Right.
So yeah, brother, complications, weird stuff.
Yep. Well, you've heard a lot behind the scenes in a short amount of time. That's all I have. Do you have anything else you want to add?
Yeah, probably more than anybody ever wanted to know. Hope we didn't scare anybody off.
Hey, stop that guy!
Don't press the stop button. No!